Senses, a three-part podcast on how disability affects people's senses. This episode of Senses focuses on sound. Imagine being sat in the cinema, but throughout the whole film there is a ringing in your ears that just won't stop, or the sound is too quiet. There is no way for you to turn the volume higher as you're in a public place. Thankfully, there are special screenings for those who are deaf with subtitles, and those with hearing aids can use a hearing loop, but you can't subtitle real life. Over 9 million people in the UK have hearing loss, which is approximately 1 in 7 people. This can range from tinnitus to full deafness. Hearing can be improved with the help of a hearing aid, but some problems cannot be cured. Megan is a student at the University of Lincoln who is deaf in her left ear, and has recently received a hearing aid to improve her sense of sound.
So when I was born, about 6 months old, I got a perforation in my left ear that basically just never healed, and I had infections and problems with it, with permanent perforation till I was, well, just for all my life. So I never really learned to swim because it would get infected, and it was basically just a permanent hole, and they wouldn't do anything until I was 12. Because you had to be kind of fully formed enough that they wouldn't do any more damage. And they did, it's got a really long, complicated name, but they put a bit of skin from the outside of my ear, and they kind of tried to graft that over the hole. And I already knew my hearing has always been not great from that, because obviously the vibrations didn't go through great. And then not too long, a couple of years ago, I went to the doctors, so the hole's meant to be fixed. I went to the doctors about tonsillitis, and they checked my ears in routine, and there was another perforation. And I'd come to uni at this point, it was really in my first semester, I was noticing I wasn't hearing with the lectures, I was struggling to understand them, especially with other people talking either side of me. So I went to Specsavers and had a free hearing test, and they said that I was bordering on severe hearing loss in that ear.
George Tipler, an audiologist at All Hear in Lincoln, explains what is commonly done in a normal case of perforation of the ear.
A perforation is not a total loss of hearing, or can be, depending how large, obviously, that the tear is. If you can imagine little kids that have inner ear infections, they put grommets in, and a grommet is simply a hole in the eardrum. So that's a purposely medically operation that actually says, let's make a hole in here. So it's a perforation by another name, but it's a controlled perforation, isn't it? The eardrum itself will heal itself. There are two skins in and out of it, and they repair themselves quite well. So hopefully with a perforation, that person could end up with possibly no loss at all once it's repaired. Nature is a wonderful thing.
After using the hearing aid for a while, Megan has started to become more reliant on it.
Yeah, when they first fit it, they do tell you that it's going to sound really like, they call it electronic, and then they put it in, and for the first like week or so, it is really weird. Like, it's a weird echo. It does just sound really weird.
Megan explains there was some stigma when first getting the hearing aid.
Yeah, no, I mean, even when they told me I needed a hearing aid, it's not, I never wanted at 18 to like have to wear one. I've always avoided it. I've always tried to play it off that I can cope more than I could. I didn't like kind of admitting that I was struggling with it, so I think that delayed it for a while until I realised that it was starting to kind of like impact.
Although it can take some getting used to, Megan finds it easier to hear with an aid.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not great with background noise. If it's somewhere really busy, like I wouldn't wear it to an evening hour or anything like that, because there's no point. Like, it'll screech at me if there's too much going on, or if it gets knocked, but yeah. Definitely day-to-day life like massively helps.
Many find it helpful to join groups when faced with a disability such as a loss of hearing. Lincoln Deaf Children's Society works to support deaf children within Lincolnshire.
National Deaf Children's Society is basically guidance. Any parents need help with children through schooling, after school, anything to do with deafness at all. And so Lincoln Deaf Children's Society try and, a bit like a small sister character kind of thing, whereas again we're here for parents. So if parents have got any problems, speech, language, any of the services, then we try and seek guidance for it all.
The Lincoln Deaf Children's Society agrees that support groups such as theirs can help support the child through their disability.
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah. Without any doubt, because you get support, you get advice. Again, you could get a parent what's quite low esteem, and you can say, right, you know, do you need any help with? And they might just open up and say, I can't get speech and language, for instance, and we can try and chase it up, which we have done for parents.
Yeah. Like me, I couldn't get a hold of my teacher at the deaf, and I come to you.
Yeah, and then we, you know, we've got little routes we can go through, and we know quite a few of them. Yeah, and then we'll move them on to, oh, can you just give this parent a ring? So by coming into a group, it does open up their world a little bit more, and we can offer the support and advice if needed.
And a few months ago, we got offered the BSL course free of charge, where it's normally a couple of hundred pounds to go on a BSL course, and we've got to fund that ourselves.
Is it also just good to have like-minded people in the same room?
Yeah, I think it is. To think that you're not alone, and
that helped me.
Yeah, without any doubt. I think, you know, even just satay, because I had terrible problems keeping the hearing aids in. And this parent might say, oh, well, try this. And you think, oh, and it works. So they do get something from it.
Yeah. On the children's perspective, Ben has finally become aware of the fact that he is wearing hearing aids. He's very different. He loves it when he comes here, and he says, they've got ears like me. Because, where he goes to at preschool and even the primary school that James did at, there is no other children with hearing aids. So to suddenly find he's not alone and there's people like him, it's a real benefit, even at 3-year-old.
George reinforces that it is important for people to join groups, especially those with tinnitus, as it allows them to speak with like-minded people.
We had a group, the first couple of months, we had 26 different members. 20 of them described their tinnitus in a different way. So it's an individual thing, very much an individual thing. So as a group, it's really the best thing about a group is getting the partners involved, because people cannot, pull yourself together, you know, what's the issue with this? Stop moaning, you know, that sort of negativity is all the time. But when a group get together and the partners listen to what's going on, wow, you may not be so bad after all.
Megan, however, found her support in her family and father, who also suffers from hearing loss.
I mean, it kind of not runs in the family, but my dad is even more deaf than I am in one of his ears, almost completely so. But he's kind of just got used to it. I think when he grew up, there was no kind of support at all. It's not that he didn't take it seriously, he just is so used to his. So it was more my mum that drove it. But yeah, I think it was, especially at school and like at uni, it was me and my family pushing it more, and then the uni getting involved afterwards.
So was your dad, say, a sort of support because he gone through it?
Yeah, it helps. It doesn't help because we're deaf on the same ear, so if we're stood, there's no way to stand next to each other in which we can both hear each other, unless we're facing. It helps because he knows what it's like to have to get people to repeat themselves or to look a bit ignorant and that kind of thing. So, it's nice to have someone that does know what it's like.
Lincoln Deaf Children's Society works to support not only the children, but also works as added support for the parents.
You can get reassurance, you can get guidance, help, advice.
I mean, I found the first time I came, Ben was only 3 or 4 months old, and he'd been diagnosed at 2 weeks old, so it was a bolt out of the blue. And coming here and meeting other parents who had been in a similar position and had children who were 5 or 6 meant that I knew what was coming, I knew that the support was coming, I knew what his future looked like, because to be honest, I had no idea. I knew nothing about deafness.
They also agree that the family provides the most support for a child.
Well, it's a 24/7, you know. Obviously, along with deafness comes sleep problems, development delays, frustration.
Like Demi's autistic, and that's down to being frustrated from not being able to hear. And then, like, Ben signs, doesn't he?
Yeah, Ben signs. So, again, we've had to teach that and get somebody in to teach that. Ben doesn't sleep, so, you know, we can't say he goes to bed at 8 o'clock and then that's it till 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, every child's different as well, with the different hearing loss to the different day-to-day lifestyle as well.
I mean, my lad has said he's 3, but He's only at a moderate hearing loss, so he wears bilateral hearing aids. But he has very difficulty with directional hearing. Mm-hmm. So obviously when we walk into school along the footpath, he can't tell where cars are coming from or how close they are, because obviously they all sound more or less the same to him. So you've got to be constantly watching them, keeping an eye on them, in a way that you wouldn't necessarily with a child who doesn't have a hearing loss, because they're much better at gauging these things. I worked full-time still with my first job. I chose to give up work because I felt that he needed additional support that he wouldn't get if he was going to a childminder, who obviously can't give him the one-to-one, because they can't.
Lincoln Deaf Children's Society provides support outside of school, meeting once a month. However, the parents feel that there could be more support for their child in school.
Again, I think it all depends on the county or the area where you live. It's like our area for Lincolnshire. You know, we've struggled so much for speech and language.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had the biggest fight for speech and language to get a therapist in, and that has been our biggest thing. Sounds awful, but in the parents' eyes, for our children, it's quite scary, really. Especially mine, I suppose, because being profoundly deaf, once he leaves school, we're stuck, really. I think an awful thing to say, normal parents with normal hearing children don't look at it as in the future, do they? They just say, oh, they get through school, find a job, and off they go. Whereas parents with
disability, any disability.
Yeah,
really.
It's they're always thinking ahead. Like even now, with mine being only 7 year old, I'm now trying to think high school, what's the best, and then when he leaves school, what's going to be the future for him? And so it's quite hard, and sometimes it's very disheartening.
George agrees with this and is actively asking to help, but continues to be denied.
Well, no, there isn't. That's the sad thing. Now, here's a quote. I've got a school around the side, close to me, and I spoke to one of the individuals there. Now, this is when we first came, so it's some time ago. Obviously, personalities change. But to me, to go into a school is difficult. When I said I would volunteer to do hearing tests for anyone who was having any difficulty, they said, oh, that's difficult. We can't, due to the systems that are in place, I am not NHS, I am not approved, my CBR, rating, all these sorts of loopholes that the system has got to go through to get somebody in to help, means that me as a volunteer, it's my own school, around the corner here, why can't I help them? I've had individuals will bring their children to me, obviously, but not the school itself. The school itself doesn't really want to know. Unless it's got a reason to get proper support, like classroom assistance and all that sort of stuff, it doesn't want to know.
Megan receives some support at university, but feels it could be better.
Through the uni, they gave me a little dictaphone, and the software, it's like an audio note-taker thing, so I can record my lectures, and then obviously if I miss anything there, I can replay that back. But yeah, barring that, that's probably the main bit. They did say that the lecturers would have, they have like a loop thing that they're meant to have on. There's three settings on my hearing aid, and the third setting is meant to tune into all of those, but they don't ever seem to have it on. So I never actually get to use that. If they had that on, it would help when I'm, because a lot of my lectures are sat in the back of the Jackson Lecture Theatre,
which is big.
And my friends kind of want to sleep at the back.
It's understandable why it can be so disheartening being a parent to a child with an impairment, as it's a constant battle.
But then saying that, we met a professional last week, but they said the amount of money what's going to be spent on Ben to take for him to go to school, you're going to have such a fight on your hands. And to be told that when he's only 7 year old, you think, oh, this is going to be so hard work, so much hard work. And at this moment in time, we was told, I don't think the county council are going to pay this amount of money for Ben to go through school. So you're already at that point where you think, oh, poor kid. I mean, this is 4 years ahead.
Yeah.
And we've been told, you need to start looking at it. I think you've got to be ahead of the game all the time, even for appointments at hospital,
23 months I waited for a hearing test.
So parents again are fighting, ringing up, can we have an appointment? Oh, we can't get you in. I mean, 23 months is such a long time.
They also believe there should be more support for young adults, like Megan.
I don't think there's enough support out there for deaf young adults. Once they reach a certain age, possibly, once they leave school, then there's hardly anything. And you have to really, really look hard and try and find some support. But up till school age, I think you can get all the support you need, especially in Lincolnshire, it's quite good.
Yeah.
But I think, again, once they leave school, there's nothing really. I don't think there's enough support out there for children with hearing problems or any disabilities to join uni, higher education.
There's funding really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Down to if they can get that additional help, even in school.
We spoke to some school teachers in Lincolnshire who see it as both the school and the parents who should help the child to get in touch with a specialist.
I would definitely say it was both because generally, if by the time they get to school, the parents probably the ones who've picked up that there is some sort of hearing loss. If that hasn't happened, generally, we as teachers will notice that something is not quite right and then be working consultation with the parents. But generally, it will happen. Parents will do it earlier. And in Keista, in reception, they will all have a hearing test anyway. So when they come into school, every child will be given a hearing test. And if they fail that, they have to redo it. They come back and redo it because it might have just been that they just didn't have... didn't answer it properly. And then if that then comes back again that they haven't failed it, then that the parents will be involved then if parents haven't picked it up.
It depends on what level of hearing loss it is. We've got several children in the school who have got some sort of hearing aid, so it will be about position in the classroom is really important, so they would probably be sat closer to the front. Try to encourage quieter working environment. If we have someone with specific like severe hearing loss, then radio aids are used. So we had a boy who left last year who had cochlear implants, so whoever was teaching him would wear the radio aid. It's amazing if there's hearing aids how much that then heightens all the other noise that's in the classroom. So it's about trying as best you can to have a quiet working environment and the rest of the children understanding why that is. If again severe, they'll probably have an EHP, so they would have one-to-one support. Scribing, we've used videos with subtitles before, or sent the video home or sent something home if they've got to watch it, so they've seen it before, so they're not going to lose anything, that type of thing.
It could be argued that the main problem facing those with hearing impairments is cost, not the schools.
The whole thing about hearing is basically you're not dying. It's one of these invisible disabilities, isn't it? You stand there, you look there and you nod your head and people think that you're normal, but you're not. And the isolation that comes in, you know, to that age happens, you know, you can go through to dementia, being so isolated and cut off that dementia kicks in and people go nodding in the corner. If they had good hearing, you could get them out of that corner and almost get them into full, you know, swing of life. In the younger age, you're getting more and more isolating people even earlier. As far as private sides goes, it's cost. If I told you that these aids cost £3,500, okay, and you're going to go, what did you just do? Okay, right. Now, would you pay £1 to have good hearing per day?
Yeah.
Okay, you'd pay £1, wouldn't you? Mm. Well, that's what that is. That's £1 a day for 5 years.
He explains how we should take care of our ears to protect them in the future.
Defend your ears. Protect your ears. You know, there's the spongy sort in any environment. Yeah. Literally that, protect your ears. One thing about the spongy things is that if you keep pushing them in or wear the iPod, iPad type, you know, the iPhone type things, you're pushing your wax back in, and that may not be. So I tended in the past, wanted everyone to have individual molds to suit their own ear because every ear is different. Now I'm of an opinion more, if you want a hearing, you know, music on, have the larger muffler sort that stay outside the canal.
It is clear to see that there are challenges presented with not only the children being affected, but both parents and schools today when supporting children and young adults who are hearing impaired. George explains that this, on both parts, is due to the cost of equipment and services to treat hearing impaired people. But they all feel that support groups such as the Lincoln Deaf Children's Society help those with impairments to understand their disability and meet others who are like-minded. Through both support groups and advances in technology, life is improving for those with an impairment.